Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to talk about the differences and the similarities in the driver swing and the iron swing. Jason, what are some of the biggest differences that you see?
Well, obviously, with the driver, we're trying to actually launch the ball in the air. So we want to swing neutral to a little bit up into it. Let's say the slower your club head speed is, the more you want to help swing up a little bit into it versus obviously an iron where we're going to swing down to that. We're going to, you know, feel like we're having a bit of a negative attack angle, which we do want, you know, let's say 3-4 degrees down with a 7 iron. With driver, if we could get up to +2, let's say on average for most golfers, that'd be a really good spot to start. So that would be, was that 5 degrees difference basically between 7 iron and a driver? Now, that doesn't sound too crazy, but that's a big number for spin loft. Obviously, the driver is also a flatter club face, so it's a tighter spin loft, so there's going to be less spin on the ball. And that's where I would say most people really struggle with their drivers because there isn't as much backspin on your driver to stop your spin axis from carrying that ball into OB or into the water. So that'd be like the biggest one right away is you're not hitting down on it, you're hitting up in it, and your spin loft is less.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously one of the biggest differences with driver versus an iron is the ball position is the farthest forward with your driver. And I think a lot of people don't understand that is shifting where you're aiming, right? All things being equal, you know, simply the ball moving farther up on the arc is basically changing your aim. And if you're trying to hit the same type of ball flight, and you can't necessarily aim exactly the same as you would with a 7 iron or obviously a wedge that ball gets even further back. Right. And, you know, sometimes you just see people who just don't adjust to that and they're aiming 80 yards left with their driver without trying to and without realizing it. Right. And all of a sudden now their path is way out to in. And since they're swinging so far out to in, they're also swinging down left and down or sort of coinciding with that player, and they're struggling with the driver.
One of the biggest differences is obviously you said, you know, we're hitting the ball off the ground versus on the tee. How much though, like we can talk about D plane stuff all day, but like at the end of the day, if we're changing our,
yeah,
an iron might be 60 degrees, a driver's 45, that has a little bit of an effect. How many people though are changing ball flight? Like how many people are playing draws with irons and fades with drivers? Good players for sure.
Yes.
Can do some of those things, even though they might still want to hit fades with their irons too or something. But I don't see a lot of regular golfers really shifting just because of D plane, just because they hit up 2.5 with their driver and hit down, let's be honest, 1 sometimes, 2-3 with their 7 iron. I don't see it shifting D plane enough that I have a lot of players who have 1 ball flight with irons, 1 ball flight with driver. I don't know if you guys are the same.
Well, I mean, sort of as what I talked about at the beginning there with how much spins on that ball. And, you know, the best part about having a launch monitor is you can show people, right? You can be like, all right, here you're hitting your 7 iron. And they're like, yeah, I can hit my irons okay because, well, your 7 iron's got 6,000 RPMs of spin. And then when you hit your driver, it's got 2,500 or on the higher end, let's say it's 3,000. Well, that's half of it. And if you're hitting it further, if you imagine your cone of your dispersion, if you hit the ball further, well, your 7 iron isn't going to, you know, slice into the woods because it can't reach the wood, but you're still hitting it basically a slice. It just doesn't go as far. And then the backspin stops it from spinning off line. And so people always say this all the time. They're like, I can hit my irons okay, but then when I go to hit my driver, I slice it. Well, you almost slice your irons. It's just because of how spin loft happens, it stops you from it moving too much. And then it doesn't go far enough to make it look like it's a big slice, but it's like a mini slice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again,
and it's easier for them to close the face a little bit. Cause you get people, we've all seen the guy that's like, well, I draw my irons and it's a pull draw all day. Yes. Like they get them on a mat where there's like lines and they hit every ball left and they're like, they aim right on the course and it's a pull draw. And then they slice their driver for a bunch of reasons, but yeah. For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say if you also that we should go, I guess we should go a little bit into swing direction, right? And I have like a little hula hoop that I made out of some ABX pipe where I lay down on the ground and I show them, okay, well, your irons, you play ball position here. If you keep the same swing direction, but then move the ball further forward in the arc, well, where are you going to connect the ball? And people go, they just see it visually and they go, oh yeah, that makes total sense. And you go, okay. So then to counter that, here's where, just like Tyson was saying, you need to feel like we're going to make some adjustments into your setup, which feel crazy. And of course you always videotape them or just put like a shaft across their shoulders and go, I know this feels like it's crazy close, but you're 1 degree or 2 degrees close. And you just swing down that again, just to have the same club path that you have from your irons to your driver. And again, that's a big one for a lot of people. They can't get behind it because golf is full of opposites. You see the ball. It's funny. I posted a thing today, why people slice. It's like you see the ball curve to the right and you're like, okay, it makes sense in my mind. If the ball's going out to the right as a right-handed, I better swing a little bit more to the left. I better make sure that I start the ball going to the left. But all that does is compound the issue of how much curvature you put on the golf ball. And now it slices across the whole fairway. And then you get frustrated and all you do is you just keep aiming more left and that makes it worse.
Yeah. And I would say, Eric, to your point of, you know, how many people play two different ball flights, I would say, you know, not anybody who's, you know, a high handicapper, right? They're just trying to make contact and send the golf ball somewhere in the direction that they want it to go. So, you know, the actual thought of what their ball flight is almost the last thing on their mind. To what Jason just said, us helping them understand why those patterns are created, you know, I think the goal is just to hit less down on it, hit less across on it, so it curves less with the driver. Maybe it's still a fade. Listen, obviously some of the greatest Hall of Famers all played fades, but you know, they didn't play slices, right? Yeah, they were like what Jason said.
Crazy steep fades. They were like shallow fades. I mean, one of my favorite videos I have in my phone to show us all the time is Lee Trevino. The guy's shallow like crazy, but he opens up his body and basically hits like a push fade. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I put him on a launch monitor, again, I'm only making an assumption from a video, but it's a good camera angle to like where he's set up, but he's probably swinging 2-3 degrees, my guess, into out.
Relative
to his
body.
But then obviously his face is, relative to his body, but his face is 1-2 degrees open to that club path. He's still swinging from the inside. He's still shallow, but then his face is open to that and he hits fade. And it's like, he does it all the time, but people just seem to forget how the old dudes used to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now everyone's like, all right, you need to be square to your target line. And I tell this to my students all the time. It's like, there's no rules into your alignment.
No, there's no rules.
Just do whatever you need to do to get the ball towards your target.
And with a beginning player, you set them up square just to see kind of what their natural thing is. But yeah, like I play my best golf when I'm slightly open and like to do that. So yeah, there's no rules there. Axis tilt is one of those things where it used to be popular to be kind of reverse K, like really tilt back. But if we look at gears data or video or other 3D systems data for tour players, we find that there's not a lot of axis tilt with irons at all. It's almost like 90 degrees. They're almost vertical. They're virtual spine and gears, whatever you want to call it, in other systems, up to like P5, like almost left arm parallel. They're not even tilting back much. And with drivers, they're about 3 to 4 degrees tilted throughout the backswing up to, again, P5, where they're, in my sample of about 35 players, tour players, men and women, about 94.7 degrees. So about 4.7 degrees of tilt away from the target up to P5. And then the hips go and the legs go and you get some tilt from there, ending up at about 18 and about 13 with irons at impact. But the old reverse K thing has kind of gone the way of the dodo. So there's not that much of a difference anymore, even though we want to hit up slightly with the driver in setup. And do you guys find similarly for the students you work with?
Yeah, I would say this. I think so many of those players that we're talking about right now that are struggling, if we were to measure them, they might actually have the reverse tilt. They might be tilting towards the target with the driver. I literally had a kid today who was hitting 6 down on it, you know, with his driver. He's like, man, I don't know why I pop it up in the air. I was like, well, I do, right? and so when you see that, and then, like I said, like, listen, that's great for an iron, you know, especially like a wedge that we're trying to, you know, flight in there. So it might have to feel like to that kid that he's got 10 degrees, 12 degrees, not because that's where I want him to stay or be, you know, but to exaggerate, to give him what the feel is. And then to your point, can we then maybe find somewhere in the neutral area that you can still hit a little bit up on, you're no longer hitting 6 down on it, and you're hitting better drives.
Yeah, and the hard part sometimes is that there are players, and I have them, that hit the same shot just like you talked about. It's like they hit their driver like it's an iron and they have no launch. It's too low spin. The ball launches at like eight. It's like, and then has like 1700 or less spin on it. And it just like launches and then hits the ground and then rolls out. The problem is that here's where, you know, maybe we went into a little bit of the differences is with an iron. Yeah. You're trying to de-loft the face. It's like 1, 1.5 or something like that. Like, you know, take your 7 iron, make it like a 6 iron type stuff, which is what you want for good compression, right? There's plenty of loft on an iron. However, driver, if it's 9, 9.5, 10 degrees, well, you can't de-loft that to like 8, 7 and then be swinging up into it because now again, that spin loft is too low and the ball doesn't launch and it doesn't carry. So we actually want to be adding just a little bit of that. Again, that helps when you're starting to swing up into it. It actually adds some loft into that. And then we get into vertical gear effect and stuff for all that extra really good stuff. But
yeah, and the shaft is fit properly. It kicks the right amount. That adds some loft.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there would be one of the big differences where, you know, driver versus iron.
This episode of the Spin Axis podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move, the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, Smart to Move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing, start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
Is the driver, here's a just random question, is the driver the easiest club to hit or the hardest club to hit? Because spin loft tends to be the narrowest, it goes the farthest, it can go the farthest offline, but it's also the biggest head and it's on a tee, right? We don't have to hit the ground precisely. So where do you guys fall on that? Is the driver the easiest club to hit or the hardest? Or
I love this question.
You can sit on the fence and be in the middle.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I do. Man. I love this question. And what I would say, and again, this is not like my favorite answer, but I see players who the driver is the easiest club for them to hit. And I see players where the driver is the hardest club for them to hit. So,
and that depends on their tendencies of what they do in their swing, right? If they hit down and so on and they're good iron players and they're not good. Yes. If they're a good wedge player, they're not a good driver sometimes. And if they're a good driver, they're a bad wedge player.
Yeah, I see that. There's a guy at my club where he's a great driver of the golf ball, like pipes it in the middle, and he's tons of wedges. And it's like, he gets over it. And I'm like, this is either a chunk or this is going to be a blade over the green. It's yes. Almost comical. And it's literally like he's hitting his driver, but a 60 degree wedge, you know, trying to hit 80 yards.
Yeah. And I'll tell, you know, even some better like junior golfers who are, you know, shooting some really good scores, they'll come in for a lesson and they're like, man, I just can't hit my driver, right? Like if I could just hit my driver, that 73 would have been a 67. And I'm like, well, number one, I don't buy that because I saw you 3-putt and I saw you 2-chip on one hole. We all always want to blame the driver. And it's like, I'll tell them, I'm not saying that I don't want you to be a better driver. Of course I do. But you don't have to be exceptional at every aspect of the game to shoot low scores, even though we would want to, right? Like you can be a mediocre driver of the golf ball if everything else is really, really good.
Yeah. What was it like the two-thirds rule or something like that? Your driver can be really good or your iron play can be really good or your putting can be really good. And as long as 2 to 3 of those is really good, you can't really score that bad. You know what I mean? Obviously, right. Unless you're like abysmal putting like I did that one day. But outside of that, as long as 2 out of 3 are pretty good, you can't score that poorly. So if you're a really good iron player and you can have great short game, yeah, you're not going to score that. You know, you're not going to shoot that high. However, if you can drive it really well and you get orange plays, well, yeah, you're going to 2-putt yourself to death. You can still score like that.
Yeah, we know statistically that the iron play is the main thing that leads to good scores. But at the same time, if you can't get off the tee, like if it's bad, you can't play golf. 100%. You're just taking penalties left and right. You're behind trees. You're OB. You're in ponds. You're never going to hit a green in regulation. Doesn't matter how good your iron shot is if you're always hitting your third.
Yeah.
With your iron.
Yes.
So
100%.
Driving is important in that sense. And for the record, I think the 3-wood is the toughest club to hit because it's almost as long as the driver, smaller head, and we hit it off the ground. So
don't disagree with that.
Yeah. What are the similarities? Because I sometimes tell people, they're like, well, I want to work on my driver swing. We'll be like, okay, but your iron swing is terrible. And so we need to work on that because it's like us and gorillas or monkeys. It's like 98% of the DNA is the same. And then when you get to better than a 14 handicap, then we can start to differentiate a little bit between the driver and the iron swing. So you agree? Most everything is about the same. We still move our bodies the same way. There's a little bit of setup stuff. There's a little bit of a concept change. And not that much is too different.
Yes, especially if you're okay with, again, the club path being slightly different from your ball on the ground to the ball on the tee further forward. And you just know, okay, it's going to, let's say, fade just a little bit more than your irons were. Okay, perfect. Then, yeah, exact same. Keep all the same feels. You don't have to change anything. And if you strike the ball well with your driver like that, same, all the same stuff for sure, 100%.
Yeah, the kinematic sequence, right, is the same. You know, the parts are moving at the same time, or hopefully they are. You know, like Jason said, obviously, I think the one thing with driver, like it's, you know, super important to hit the middle of the face like it is with any other club. It just can get magnified for players. You know, hopefully the rhythm and the tempo for the player is pretty darn close. I would want it to not be drastically different than any other iron swing that they would have. I think in that regard, the overall motion of the body, it should be pretty darn close.
Right. You don't have to get quite as far forward with the driver. You can kind of tip back. You can kind of play that shot. I had a kid today, actually, who was like, I'm duck hooking my driver. And he comes in, I put the four dots on with my quad so I could see, you know, exactly face angle and contact locations. As you would guess, the face was a little closed to the path and the target, and everything was high toe, which is going to reduce spin and gear effect, snap hook, everything. And he thought, oh, the ball's starting to the right, so my face must be fine. But like he was hitting it enough, a centimeter and a half high and toe, like almost 15 millimeters in those both directions. And that's enough to like just destroy it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you hit an iron a little bit over there, you're going to get, it's going to be weak. It's going to try to draw a little bit.
That's right.
But it's going to be okay. You're going to be chipping from the just short of the front left of the green or something. Driver, it's destroyed, you know, and the heel cuts that you see from some bad players where it just peels outright. Gear effect is a huge thing. It still exists on irons. It's much smaller on irons. So
yeah, it
center face contact almost matters more with a driver.
Totally agree.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's fun actually showing students that. Like where you spray the face, you have the quad up or track man, and you go, okay, I'm going to hit this out of the toe. And you hit it out of the toe, but with like an out-in club path and the face is slightly open at impact. And all of a sudden you watch the ball start a little bit to the right for right-hander, but then draw. And then you show them the data. And you're like, hey, look, I was 4 degrees out-in there and the face was 5 degrees open. And they're like, wait, that makes no sense. Correct.
Yes.
And this is why if you don't know where you're striking on the face, you can like double cross yourself really quick on the golf course. Because let's just say one shot, yeah, you actually hit that shot and you overdraw it and you're like, oh man, okay. So, you know, I obviously swung too far into out there. I need to swing more, you know, out in to neutralize that pattern. And all of a sudden, well, you were actually already out in, but you just struck it out of the toe. And the next one, instead of it drawing, now you hit a giant slice. Because you actually did what you thought you needed to, which again, if you don't have like the whereabouts of what where you're striking on the face, if you don't practice it, you won't know. Oh yeah, actually, one was just a little too toey, and that created the draw. I don't need to change anything in my swing. I just need to hit it in the middle of the club face.
Yeah, my PSA to wrap things up is understand the ball flight laws and know how to apply them, but also understand where you hit the ball on the face. Irons too, but especially with a driver and your hybrids and your fairway woods.
Yeah,
absolutely. Love it. Well, guys, again, another great discussion that we could, again, go on for a long time. At the end of the day, thanks for everybody listening. Share this with all your friends. I'll see you next time.
Remember, you can find us on social medias at The Spin Access and online at thespinaccess.com.
Take care.